your energy bills by up to 30%. Replacing your existing light bulbs with Energy Star qualified fluorescent lights in the lamps and fixtures throughout your home will save up to 50% on lighting costs. By installing Energy Star storm windows and double pane windows, you can reduce energy loss in your home by 25 to 50%. You have the power to make a difference. By using Energy Star products, you can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
More information on Energy Star products and savings can be found at www.energysavers.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
What's up?
Energy drives
our
nation.
How's it going? We're not going to listen to that again. Hi. And there's a terrible, terrible noise in my ear, but you people out there, you're listening to WSB Stony Brook. It's exactly 6:03 p.m. Don't forget to check out WSB.fm. There are alternate ways to support the station and donate to community radio. And there's playlists, program information, and other news and special event items that you will find interesting. There's lots of great stuff there. Also, archives and playlists. Don't forget that. As I said, it's 6:03. I hope you're cozy. I hope you've weathered the storm and you're not flooded. So, that can only mean it's time for Off the Wall.
I don't care. Go ahead and put me on the air.
Well,
I don't care.
You hate it every single time.
I hate when you do that.
Well, it.
If you touch that button, it makes it sound worse.
I know, but if you touch it like at least 10 times, at least one time in there, you might get it sounding good.
Yeah, but you have to hit that one time.
Okay,
every single
no.
time you touch it, it gets even worse.
Oh. No.
The thing is, to everybody listening, it sounds like we're out of our minds because it's the same to them. But to us, every time you touch that button, you hear all kinds of static and buzzing and humming and tweeting. And it's... No, I don't hear anything at all. I mean, that's probably best. In fact, that would be best for everybody.
Okay, that's good.
What, the loud buzz? Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Wow.
You're right. That is like... It's like a really popping, snapping, crackling...
This is how I would imagine a bumblebee would hear USB if he had headphones on while he was doing his job. That's how I would imagine. Of course, again, I don't think people can hear that.
That is so bad.
It's really bad. I think the problem is our receiver here in the studio. I think somebody hooked something up so that something's touching something it's not supposed to touch. And
oh, okay. Yeah, because it is. It's like a hum, but it's more of like a buzz.
Yeah.
It's...
It is a buzz, you're right.
It's really distracting.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Off the Wall, the show where we complain about everything for an hour.
Audio Engineering 101.
And we offer no solutions.
No, we just complain, and we tell you about more problems.
And there are so many problems.
And they just keep coming. They don't stop. Those problems right here at WUSB, homegrown, where your problems are everyone's problems.
And we right now are experiencing a tropical storm, sort of.
We're in the midst of a storm.
Yeah, it's a storm that either never was or might be someday. It's been with us since the weekend. It's now Tuesday, and it's still going to be here apparently tomorrow. And people in New York City aren't experiencing anything, but out here in Suffolk County, we're getting some wind, not really much rain. It's noises like that we're hearing. And I love it. I really was hoping for something massive, but Hermine is the name of the tropical storm. So I think she's a hurricane now. I think she's a hurricane again.
She mean.
But she's far away, too.
She's quite far.
We're getting just the tail of it. And
we're getting the edges.
Yeah.
It's like the stuff that sort of swaths around and kind of just laps at the shore. It's kind of just teasing us. It's a tickle of this massively powerful but much smaller than Irene or Sandy or
Irene, Sandy, any of them really.
Yeah, it's really not.
It's not a lot, but it's something.
But you know what? We're trying to be hysterical. We've been and we've succeeded.
Hysterical?
We
are. You're right.
We have made sure that we have enough milk to go bad.
Oh, boy. I don't get that.
Yeah, we stocked up. We got 60 gallons. It's on the porch now. We opened all the tops.
Uh-huh.
And it should be ready to go and spoil right now.
Yeah. We really panicked good this time. But, okay, so there are people that are very angry about this because, Labor Day weekend, it's a big week. In fact, it's the biggest weekend.
Their big plans got upended.
Of the year for many retailers.
Okay.
Retailers,
Okay,
the people,
so yeah, I guess it is shopping. Yeah, people are out.
Yeah.
Back to school comes up.
Well,
so.
School is happening right now, but, it's summer is over. If you follow the calendar.
No, but I'm talking about back-to-school shopping. That's like a thing.
Oh, that's a thing, too. But yeah. I'm talking about people who go out and have fun for that one last weekend. Okay, you can't go swimming. Probably not a good idea. In fact, we lost two people nearby who just fell into the water while fishing. And
well, we're overtaken, like slipped, and then...
Yeah, and not even on the ocean side.
Swallowed up by the tide, right?
And spat back onto shore a day later.
Yeah.
We don't realize that. When we look at the ocean, when we look at even the Long Island Sound, it's dangerous. It really is. We seem to forget that sometimes. But if you fall into that and you're not prepared, it's very easy to completely get lost and be overcome.
Yeah, it's certainly not a static system. I'm thinking of like a backyard pool or something. I mean, there are so many different things going on thermodynamically and with currents and layers and different things that cycle around. It's a whole really, really complex thing that we often don't think about, but it really does have a lot of action to it and can, if you're not prepared, it can really it can really surprise you.
I don't think about it nearly. Well, I don't think about it all the time, but I don't
you're
really
talking about swimming and
yeah. What I don't understand, and I'm guilty of this because mm-hmm. I just assume, well, if I fall off a boat, I just have to float. You know, I just have to, you know, lay on my back and float. I can do that. I don't have to really swim, and it doesn't really work that way. You brought up the fact that probably if you fell off a boat, you wouldn't be wearing a bathing suit. You'd probably be in your clothes. Have shoes on, whatever,
yeah,
and that weighs you down immediately.
Well, and it becomes heavy, and you can't tread water where, and that is an action that requires motion. And if you can't move or you're adding drag to the work you're doing to tread water, you then become more exhausted.
Plus, I don't know how many of us have taken a dip in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, but it's very turbulent, usually.
Dynamic.
And you get overcome like that.
One mouthful. Also, you got to remember, it's seawater.
So it's seawater.
That could make you gag. That could make you sick. It could aggravate it. You'd also be in some distress because you don't have
a
plan yet.
What else doesn't help is the realization of, oh, my God, I'm in the ocean. I'm in the middle of the ocean. I'm in the middle of the Long Island Sound. I just fell in the water. Panic, you know. It does not help.
Yeah, shock and trauma are very big themes in first aid. I recommend everyone out there, if I haven't reminded you to this year, go and take a first aid class. Maybe learn CPR, learn how to use an AED or a Lucas. No, you don't get to do that unless you're an EMT. But anyway, just figure it out.
What's a Lucas?
Know? That is the robotic chest compression systems they have now.
Oh.
In fact, there was a boy, I guess, that was rescued in Huntington Station, and they used this device on him. I think it was near Huntington, but basically he was in full cardiac arrest.
Wow.
They thought he was having the call was for seizures, but he was in full cardiac arrest when they showed up, and they attached this robotic chest compressor to him, and what that allows is it allows the paramedics to do other things, and this automatically, and it also, you know, the 2 inches we learn, compression has to be exactly 2 inches. Well, it's exactly 2 inches, and it does that 100 times a minute, just like you learn.
Wait, I took the course. I don't remember them saying it has to be exactly 2 inches.
Well, I'm saying it is precisely 2 inches, whereas a human may not be able to replicate that every single time, 100 times, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of really cool stuff, and it's good to learn that stuff. If somebody hits the deck, what do you do? And that teaches you about shock and trauma, because even as a bystander or Good Samaritan, what will you do?
Yeah.
Do you pull out your iPhone? Is that what you do? You just take pictures? No. I mean, are you in action? Are you capable of that? Do you just pick up the phone and get help?
Well, that's an interesting point, because even if you do take the course and you know first aid, how do you react when there actually is something going on in front
Absolutely.
Of you?
Absolutely.
You could freeze up easily.
You go into shock. I don't like the idea of compound fractures or a lot of blood, anything like that, lacerations, those things are nasty.
Yeah, bones sticking out of
Terrible.
The skin.
Terrible. That's the compound fractures. Yeah, and I broke my hand recently. It wasn't great. I survived it. But a lot of those things can be not right to look at, and you can then go into shock sympathetically. So,
and then someone else has to step up and
right.
prepare you.
So it's very important, especially with natural disasters, storms, things like that.
I have a question, though.
Think about how you react to stuff like that. And if you're out in the water, in the middle of the water, I hope, you know, maybe put your phone in a baggie. Maybe you can make a call. I don't know how that... There's a windsurfer that got rescued, too, out on Fire Island.
Yes,
I feel like
true.
He had a waterproof... like baggie with his phone and just called
or somebody
or
watching
somebody
him.
Saw him.
Yeah, but always have somebody who knows where you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on a cell phone if you're in the middle of the sound. Anyway,
in school, did you learn quadratic equations? Do you remember that?
Yes, I
okay.
think.
No idea what they are, right? I totally forget. I'm blanking out. We were talking about that the other day with some people. You're never going to need quadratic equations after school. Was uttered, and I believe that's correct.
I remember linear equations with algebra.
Okay. And we all go through this. We all go through this. And it's torture, but it's part of school. Now, I ask you, why can't we learn first aid the same way so that we all know that?
Absolutely. I think it's undervalued, and there's no reason not to. In fact, my first aid class was at a community college.
Hang on. Marianne, say hi.
There's...
Marianne's here.
You're talking about stuff.
Well, we're talking about, yeah, but now
well,
we're
Marianne, you understand first aid. Have you ever taken a first aid class?
Yes.
I think a long time ago.
If one of us keeled over right now, would you be able to spring into action?
Not so great.
Okay, well,
you'd be taking your life in your hands.
This is the problem.
Well, do you know what the first? You know what the first thing you do is the first rule: activate the emergency response system.
Oh, I thought if somebody's like having a heart attack or something.
Yeah, the first thing is call 911. So that's activate the system.
Well, 9-9. Well, actually, no, you don't have to dial the 9. The extra 9 here. It works.
Yeah.
You lie them
try
down,
no,
and
don't
then
try
you call
it.
The phone, right?
Well, yeah, there's definitely make sure they're okay. But the first thing is not to forget to get other help if you don't know what to do.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I think, relevant to what you were saying or your experience, especially if you're a little rusty. You gotta refresh. It's not bad. And a lot of places give out classes.
Can I tell a secret about the radio station in its early days and when we had panic? Because something would always be breaking. Not like today. Things would be breaking all the time when we first went on the air. If we needed help at any time, we would play a Legal ID, WUSB Stony Brook, and then we'd play the song Help by the Beatles. And that was a signal to any engineer listening to call because something was going wrong.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I figured I can let that secret out now because we've gotten a handle on it.
No, that's brilliant.
After nearly 40 years of radio.
We should get an updated song, though. Like, maybe remix or... No, not remix, because you kind of have to open a new chapter. So, like, let's find a new song that has that same, like, help, and then come up with... That'll be the new policy. And, you know, make sure that all the new volunteers who come to the radio station understand that this is what you do. If you need somebody to help out, they'll be here. Maybe an SOS-themed song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's no shortage of emergency
I'm trying
themed
to think of
music.
Something clever. I can't.
Yeah, well, you know, our canon of modern and other music
so, Marianne, how have you
lacking.
Been? We you might recall, we were visiting Marianne in Ireland on one of our shows.
And you were back there recently, Marianne, and I was thinking of you, and I was sort of imagining just what kind of fun you were getting into.
Actually, well, mostly I visit people, but I did do, there was one day where I did fun stuff, like, kind of by myself.
Okay,
which
okay.
I actually enjoyed.
Good.
So I was visiting, all right, so I'll tell a story. So I was visiting my cousins in Cork, and one of my cousins was saying that her husband's grandmother was the inspiration for this film called Older Than Ireland, and because Ireland turned, like, 100 years old, in 2016, because the rebellion was in 1916. So the premise of this documentary by the guy who did the Ireland pub that featured a bunch of pubs in Ireland that were in were three generations or more in the same family. So he needed a new project, and he heard about my cousin's grandmother and that she was over 100. And he thought, oh, that'd be really interesting. And, like, they thought that she would be old and not really have good memory. And they got to the house, and she's, like, putting out the laundry, and, you know, she had her makeup on, and she was 102, I think, at that point.
102?
Yep.
Wow.
And so then they thought, well, I wonder what other old folks are around that, you know, seem to be with it. So they ended up interviewing 30 people around the country who were over 100 and of varying economic, you know, backgrounds or, you know,
resources,
different backgrounds.
And
and some of them were city people, some of them were country people. And they made this film Older Than Ireland. So then so I looked it up, and it was touring the U.S. And, of course, I'd missed it in New York and Massachusetts. So I wrote a little note to them on Facebook because they have a Facebook page. And I said, oh, you know, please let me know when you're coming back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next morning, the house I was staying at with my friend's house, they were outside, and they were talking early in the morning before they went to work, and I happened to wake up, and I was like, oh, well, you know, now I'm awake, and there's a week in Ireland that they call, like, Cultural Heritage Week, where they have lots of cool and free things to do. So I'm like, well, let me look around, because other years I've found fun things to do. I turn on the computer, and I look, and there I see there's a showing of the movie Older Than Ireland.
No way.
Right nearby.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant.
I know.
I love seeing movies when I'm out traveling, too. That's
a
fun thing to do.
I called up because it says booking required. So I call up. I'm like, and it's during the day and it's during the week. So I figure it's probably a good chance. But, you know, they said booking required. So I call up and I was like, oh, I just want to see if there's seats available. And she's like, oh, yeah, there's seats available. So I'm like, okay. So then she describes to me where it is. It's not that far. It's kind of near the airport. It's kind of near Shannon Airport. And I drive there, and I pull up, and there's these lovely new buildings, and I go inside, And there's a lot of old people in there.
Older than 100?
Well, probably not quite, but getting there. And so then, you know, and there's two people, like, under 80 kind of thing, or three, because one of them's me. And
so it's all their homies.
Yeah, so then I asked, and I'm like, oh, you know, and she figured out I was the one who called, because, you know, I'm sure my voice sounded like I was less than 85. But what it was is that was the daycare facility on this retirement-ish village that they built to model after an American-style one, where you have, like, the day center.
Wait, they build things. Their way of paying tribute to us is to build something that is modeled after a retirement home. That's what we're known for, retirement homes.
We pack them away like none other.
But actually, it's the only one apparently there, you know, and it was very, but it was very nice. It was a brand new building.
Okay.
So, and it was lovely. Like, they had the art room and the room where, you know, the beauty parlor room, and then there was, like, this big room, and then they have gardens outside, and I was like, wow, this is Claire Tax Dollars finally doing some good. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah. So then I watched a movie with about 25 to 30, I'd say, people in their 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, on this big screen. And, you know, I got all choked up, and it was very good. And my cousin's grandma was only in it. She didn't have a lot of screen time, actually, considering she was the inspiration. But the moment she was in was poignant. And then they had this other woman who's become, like, a celebrity. She's, like, 103, 104. I think her name's Bethany.
There's always somebody to beat that. Wow.
She smokes and drinks, and she's kind of sassy, and she's got, like, purple hair. But that's just because people with blue hair are now in style, and hers happen to be purple instead of blue. So, yeah, but that was great. So I watched the movie, and I got very excited, like I said, when I saw my cousin-in-law, like my cousin's grandma-in-law, however I put it. But and then as I was leaving, and I was talking to the woman who, you know, helps run it, the facility, I was like, oh, and she's pointing out all the other buildings. So they have the daycare room, a building. They have the assisted living. They have the independent living. And then they have just like the nursing home. So they have all the levels.
I was
going
to say they have a place to put when they misbehave.
Exactly, yeah. They can just trade. You know, they're doing better, they're doing worse.
Uh-huh, okay.
So, and I said, oh, yeah, I'm on vacation, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm here by myself because all my friends
are working.
Wait,
they didn't offer you a room there, did they?
No, I would have took it, though. It was a very nice building.
Pretty
it was gorgeous.
Snazzy?
It was.
Okay.
And I think if I had mentioned that I was hungry, they would have let me stay for lunch. But I was outside, and I was talking to the woman, and it was a nice day out. And I said, oh, I like the gardens because they had these gardens in back, and there's some 200-year-old tree that there's only two of them in Ireland.
Older than Ireland? Wait, how can a tree in Ireland be older than Ireland? Think about that.
Well, because the land is there for ages. But the tree.
I know the answer. I'm just saying.
It's called a cedar.
It puts things in perspective.
A cedar of Lebanon. And it's like, you know, historically.
It's older than Lebanon, too.
No, it's like some special kind of wood and all kinds of stuff I can't remember. Wow. But anyway, so then she said, well, if you like gardens, not too far from here, one more exit between here and me going back to where my friends live, where we're staying, there's this place, and I want to say Drumoland, but it's not. It's Drumoland. It's like how you wouldn't say Maryland, you'd say Maryland. So this is Drumoland Castle, which is kind of like a golfing kind of place, you know, like rich people go there to golf and stuff like that. But it's still very nice looking. You can see it from the road, and they let you drive around. So anyway, so she's like, they have tea, like an afternoon tea, if you'd like that. And I was like, I would like that. So I drove there, and I drove in, you know, they have the back parking lot where, you know, the commoners can go. And, you know, there's all these people arriving in these fancy schmancy cars, and, you know, the lovely castle, big doors, and everybody dressed very nicely. And, you know, I'm schlumping in there in my sweatpants or whatever I was wearing. And I was like, oh, I said, you know, is this where the afternoon tea is, or do I go to the cafe? And they're like, no, it's in here. So, you know, it's just gorgeous wood everywhere, and, you know, these big heavy curtains. And, you know, it's a cool-looking castle-esque place.
Nice.
And then I sat there, and it was a super bargain, because for 18-euro, you got, like, a one plate, and you got a little, you know, kind of sandwichy thing and some snacks and your tea. But it would cost the same or more in the U.S. in some tea house that wasn't in a castle. So I sat there, and that happened to be my best friend's birthday, and we share, you know, go to tea together sometimes. So it was just a lovely, lovely morning and afternoon, and the gardens were gorgeous. They're kind of like, you know, the way you think of as English gardens, which is just bushes and flowers and stuff everywhere. They were very pretty.
Wow.
So, yeah, so other than visiting the friends and relatives, that was really the highlight of the trip. And I got back.
Fantastic.
When did I went from the 12th, and I got back the 31st, so I got back on Wednesday.
Okay. So you're back. And now, Marianne, do you have a show here in USB?
No.
We
got to
get
it.
You back on the air.
This is my show.
Wow. You can see this is something that we need on the radio because Marianne Devine has been here for almost as long as I've been here, and you always bring so much to the airwaves, and I hope we have you back on doing some kind of program.
She brought us program. She brought us log sheets, actually.
I brought a program line. I was going to bring a lot more, but the Xerox machine was broke during the day, and I didn't want to re-break it, so I only brought a month's worth.
No, this is the lifeblood of community radio.
Yeah.
People, volunteers coming and saying, hey, I'm going to do this because I know they need
them. Working behind the scenes, that's what it's all about. Hey, we're digitizing the entire damn library,
I know.
That's
very impressive.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's robots working right now as we speak.
Every contribution, everybody's part matters, and it goes a long way, and also gets other people in the mood, gets them excited about how they can contribute, how they can maybe give their hand at some storytelling or other things you can do with this fantastic station. And well, thanks for sharing. Thanks for telling a story a travel show within a show. That's great. We just went to Ireland.
You had your divine story for the day.
I feel like I just been to Ireland. I want to go back. I really do.
Yeah. We do, yes.
Will you be around later? We can maybe catch up.
Yeah, I'll stay the half hour.
Make plans on the radio.
I'll say hi to Finster.
Yes, Finn will be here. I'm sure he's already parking his car.
All right, I'll go downstairs, get something, come back up and
listen
while you're on.
Yes.
All right,
great seeing you, Marianne.
Yep.
Marianne Devine joining us here on Off the Wall.
That's one of the things you can do with freeform shows. And
so great to see her.
I love that she came by, and we really did need the logs that she brought.
Go back in the archive at 2600.com/off the wall and search for the show that we did from Ireland, where we were basically hanging out in this amazing house that Marianne was.
It was a house the guy was building.
Yeah, this guy had drew.
Yeah, he was from Maryland. I believe I can say that, but
Maryland.
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry, Maryland. And fantastic location, really inspiring. Got me thinking about, wow, you know, it'd be cool to build something or create an interesting place to live somewhere.
He was doing it right.
Yeah, very slowly. Mm-hmm. A lot of found objects, like appliances and stoves and things that were antique, but you know, had good industrial. Good functionality, you know, that's it.
And a lot of the floor and walls were built out of stone, real stone.
Yeah, form was following function. It was very sturdy. A lot of old school design. I think he was getting that from a lot of the people in the area. Really cool stuff. And there's equivalents out here on Long Island, certainly, with the kinds of things people build and things people do. New York being the industrious place that it is. I'm often quite inspired, I think. Things are a little slower on the West Coast sometimes.
Well, we can look at the pros and cons pretty much everywhere, but one thing I do like to see sturdy houses because, you know, in weather like this where it's windy and rainy, you want to be inside and not feel like your house is going to fall down.
Yeah.
And so many, I believe it was in Quebec, somebody asked us, why do you build your houses out of paper? was that Quebec or was that Europe?
I think it might have been former Yugoslavia.
Oh, okay.
Somebody asked us, and it was because everything there had been shelled and then rebuilt.
Yeah.
Like basically like, okay, we need 6 bricks for that hole. We need 8 bricks for that hole.
God
and they
help
just
us.
Fill them in.
If war breaks out and we start shelling each other, you're going to see how quickly houses get destroyed. I mean, you look at the footage on TV, and these are strong houses that are being blown up.
Yeah, well, you know, my critique, honestly, is the whole lowest bidder thing. The way contracting, the way construction is handled, I'm highly critical, and I feel like procurement and getting that stuff right can be very sloppy, very wasteful. It can also be done really, really efficiently, really, really. Construction management is a very important thing, and I think when we build, you know, getting the best rate, you know, the cheapest this, the cheapest that, cutting all kinds of corners, doesn't really, it comes through in the finished product, and we don't benefit from that. You end up getting, you know, flooring that makes your children sick and walls that are, you know, not able to withstand certain things. Just really, we we can be a little too cheap sometimes, but then...
You think? Yeah, the people sure
that,
can.
But I think also like the other end of the spectrum, the people that have the money, they spend it in awful ways, a la the tacky administration we're on the precipice of voting in.
Okay, let's get to that in a moment.
Yeah, okay, what else you got?
That's going to get me on a tirade.
All right.
Well,
yeah,
I want to continue with what we were talking about as far as this storm and the weekend. Labor Day weekend, yeah. Biggest weekend of the year for tourist attractions like Fire Island, Montauk, dare I say even Port Jefferson. Sunday we went into town in Port Jefferson because everyone was saying stay away from going outside. It was a beautiful day. The sky was blue and everybody was out too, which was good. But just thinking of all the people we're told to follow evacuation. Fire Island got evacuated. A voluntary evacuation order was issued on Saturday. But you know what? The weather was fine all throughout Sunday, and even Monday was okay. None of it had to happen. But there was a chance. It was a good chance this storm was going to hit hard. So they had to issue that warning. But you know, did you hear they totally somehow screwed this up?
Yeah, they did.
They sent an alert instead of sending an alert to have a voluntary evacuation of Fire Island. They sent an alert to evacuate all of Suffolk County. That's never been done.
That is out of control.
It went out on multiple channels, advising residents to immediately evacuate Suffolk County. So all kinds of news agencies were flooded with phone calls Saturday night and what turned out to be an error with the emergency broadcast system. An inaccurate phone call went out this evening from a federal emergency management authority to some Suffolk County residents stating that all Suffolk County residents must evacuate. That's according to County Executive Steve Ballone. That was quickly corrected.
It might have been Bart or Beatrice or whoever made that call, you know they feel like a horse's rear and just...
Well,
absolutely. I mean, better safe than sorry.
I heard it was a computer that did it, so I don't know how they feel.
The computer made the call.
If you got that call, we'd like to know what it was like.
Yeah, please. And the whole thing, we watched the sort of fine line between being trigger happy with it and, you know, these little things that kind of slip through because you know emergency volunteers or professionals all alike, they're all getting ready and, you know, working on those systems, testing things, making sure everybody can talk and the equipment is there. So, of course, that was a funny thing, but also some of the haste, I think, that wasn't really necessary and confused the heck of a lot of
people.
It's
easy to say that now, but when a storm is bearing down, you have to... Maybe, not act too hastily, but at least keep an eye open and be prepared to move quickly. But when you're dealing with a whole lot of people, you kind of have to get the wheels in motion early. So it's really tough. It's as tough as it can be. In fact, they're saying what's been called the storm that wasn't left crates of produce unused at Fire Island restaurants, caused sales to drop in Montauk shops after thousands fled beaches during what is often the busiest weekend of the year. There's no makeup from this. You can't recover from this. A Kurt Smith, owner of a Flair House and a summer place at Ocean Beach on Fire Island, the popular summer community was expected to draw 10,000 visitors this weekend.
Oh, my God.
But only saw several hundred. People are upset. They wanted to enjoy the last weekend of summer. It's disappointing. And as it became apparent that Hermine wouldn't realize his forecast potential, Fire Island merchants scrambled to call their employees back to work, many of whom had left the South Shore Barrier Island on Sunday. Many restaurants were stuck with excess food after placing big orders for the holiday weekend. "We just have a lot of fruit," said manager Stephanie Marone from Baywalk Cafe. "We just have to find a way to use it or take a loss." Merchants emphasized that their shops would remain open through Columbus Day weekend, but said there is little they can do about the lost Labor Day weekend revenue. It's a pretty crummy way to end the season. Okay, you know, here's what I say to everybody out there. Why? Why does it have to be the end? Everyone says, okay, summer is over now. First of all, summer is not over. Summer legally ends in late September, okay? So summer's not over. You're just saying summer is over because of this holiday weekend. Why? Why can't we take control of our lives and make next weekend the last weekend of summer? Yeah, I know. We have jobs. We don't have Monday off, whatever. But why don't we just give ourselves a present and make up for it and all head out to Fire Island, head out to Montauk, do whatever it is we want to do over Labor Day weekend, but do it next weekend instead. You know, do something for the merchants that lost so much, but do something for ourselves and say, yeah, we can have our own summer when we feel like it, not when the calendar dictates. What do you say?
I say it's about synchronization.
Uh-huh.
It's really about synchronization, and honestly, it's all of those people's jobs. It's the fact that it's a three-day weekend instead of a two-day weekend, and those structures, it's the same reason, the garbage man comes for everybody on a certain day in your neighborhood. That regimen, that regularity, it's the same reason most places are closed in the middle of the night on the West Coast.
But sometimes garbage truck gets a flat tire and is late, comes the next day instead. You know, sometimes things get turned over and you just have to deal with the change. I'm saying, why don't we take control for once and say next weekend is the last weekend of summer. Let's do it then. You know, who loses?
I like that, but I think people will get confused about who we is and
we is
organizing.
Us. That's who we is.
Right, but people will be so confused. They're like, but no, I need a day. I can't do that without a day off, and then I can make my own decisions. But if I don't have 3 days,
yeah,
I can't.
That's me slapping them across the face.
I have to have someone else make decisions.
Saying,
if it's
for
not
God's
3 days.
Sake, people, take control of your destiny. You're in charge here,
okay.
Not Mother Nature, not God. Not fate, not the weather, none of those losers. No, you're in charge.
Okay,
take control, for God's sake, people. Go out to Montauk next weekend. Go to Fire Island next week. You know what? All those idiots out there that are, self-entitled fools, they won't be there. It'll be a much better crowd. Do you know the kind of party they must have had on Fire Island for the people who stayed this weekend?
Sucker.
Oh, wow, the good weather,
right.
and less people to worry about.
Just chilling.
So give something back. You know what? Why don't we go to Montauk next weekend?
All right.
We
I'll
can
go
do
to
it.
With you.
Less traffic, and I'm sure the people there will be cooler.
I would say, yeah, everyone independently can choose to go and support these places,
mm-hmm.
Fire Island, Montauk, all that. It does not have to synchronize with some artificial holiday weekend that we are creating. But rather, be motivated to support those entities because they did suffer as a result of misinformation and hysteria.
As did all of us. Whatever you were planning on doing last weekend that you didn't do because of Hermine, do next weekend. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
You'll feel better. All right. Well, that's a call to action that I thought was
fun. Well, come on. We change the world one topic at a time here at Off the Wall.
All right. Well, now the topic I was trying to avoid is what the hell? I mean, I wake up this morning and I see there's a new poll out where Donald Trump is now ahead of Hillary Clinton. What kind of bizarro universe is this? How is that even possible? How is it possible for somebody like that to be ahead of anybody?
Yeah,
yet CNN is reporting that he is 2 points ahead of her now.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think. What was it, Florida and Michigan? No, Michigan and Wisconsin? No, I can't remember what states, but there's two states or a couple states that she actually fell behind and was suffering a bit. And I saw her yesterday, she lost her voice and was having a really difficult time speaking. It was like a comedy bit almost. Not so good when your rival is basically saying you're not well.
Yeah, well,
I know she lost her voice and she's had to do a lot of screaming, but she needs some honey and some tea and she had people handing her cough drops on the podium. Everyone's trying to help her. But on the flip side of that,
what's wrong with that? That happens.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, though her adversaries may like want to characterize this as it's like a form of weakness, I would say that she comes out a bit stronger if you look at it in the right way. She barreled through that. Yeah, her voice was wrecked because she's been screaming about this crazy man that she's running against for months.
Well, I think she needs to stop giving him that much attention. I think that's a bit much. Bill Clinton's voice going out many times. I remember Bernie Sanders' voice. His voice was out constantly.
This is what happens when you run a campaign.
Yeah, and there was a lot of writing about that. And, in fact, she has thematically focused a lot about Trump. There were a couple articles today and I think yesterday also kind of outlining basically this this method of attacking Trump and Trumping unfit. She really has a lot to offer. And if your sole focus is the opposition and you have so much, you end up not being able to bolster the case for you being exceptional and as experienced as she is. I think, you know, we're not hearing that because she's focused so much on that. And that is a lot of the argument. And of course he's, continuing on, I guess. Yeah. So that put him, I guess, those are 2 percentage points. Is that how we are?
Well, that's overall. That's overall. But it gets even more depressing if you break it down.
Yeah.
I don't take a lot of faith in these polls, but they do worry me. They do make me think, where are we as a human race? If you break it down by women, support Clinton 53% to 38%. And this is the one that I have trouble with. Men back Trump over Clinton 54% to 32%. That's saying all men in this country. I mean, how is that even? I don't know any of these people. I really don't know who they are, where they are, but that just seems shocking. It really does.
I'm not that shocked because there's a lot of people that are looking at that as a movement for backlash, a vehicle for their dissatisfaction with identity and status, and I think there are a lot of things challenging that, and a lot of these men are rationalizing this movement despite the details, despite the sort of unsettling realities of Trump's personality and campaign and what he's validating through his supporters. It is absolutely a concerning direction, but I think it sort of makes sense. It plays into these things, these people that have been challenged, what they think they deserve, what, you know, their due is. It's kind of like a justification or something to strengthen, you know, to have them pick themselves up and feel feel strength through this unity of minds and this brotherhood, and it's basically about all of the negative things and somewhat a lot of the negative policies and things that they can kind of distill out of both the Obama and what will be the Clinton administration, and those critiques end up being unifying points, and they're not asking questions of one another. There's no nobody's stopping anybody, and it basically it's, as we've said, the floodgates of validation. I mean, that's the best word I can think of, is that it is this attitude by making him okay, like normalizing that kind of talk and behavior, it's validating a lot more than it represents maybe in just one person.
Here's the thing, okay? We are like I said, a bizarro world. We're living in a place where this is actually being seen as a possibility that this guy could be elected. And I honestly, you know, I thought it was a joke for a long time. And now we're supposed to see this as potential reality next January, especially with polls like this. And I wonder what kind of country this is going to be if that happens. So many people have said, I'm out of here if that happens. So many people have said, wow, Western civilization is really threatened with extinction if this happens. Republicans saying this guy is not qualified. You know, so many really ominous signs, and yet we're expected to believe this is possible. You know, ask yourself, what would
it be like with a President Trump? Think about it. Think of the people. And then, you know, I know people don't trust Hillary Clinton. I keep hearing that all the time, especially from people on the left. They're always saying negative things about her and not saying negative things about Trump, which really bothers me. Yeah, I know that Hillary Clinton has issues. I know that she's a politician, she's not to be trusted, et cetera, et cetera. But ask yourself, what kind of people will be brought in a Clinton administration? Ask yourself, what kind of policies will be enacted? Ask yourself where we will be in 4 years, what kinds of people will be empowered, what kinds of people will be discouraged? And then ask those same questions under a Trump administration and tell me that there's no difference between the two. You know, yeah, I would rather have an untrustworthy Hillary Clinton in power than what they're calling a more honest Donald Trump, who's an ignorant racist, who will do all kinds of detrimental things and set back our progress by many decades. Yeah, there is not even a comparison here. And I'm really losing patience with people that seem to want to equate the two. There is no equality here. We need to wake up, or we're going to be facing a kind of a hell that we have only dreamed about in nightmares, you know, and it worries me. It really worries me to see things like this happening.
Yeah. Yeah. The overall, it is inexcusable, and yet it's being excused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm staying for what that's worth, and I mean, I have a good idea of.
Just stay if Mr. Trump allows you to stay, Kyle. He has a list of people that he's going to kick out of the country, and
That's what he thinks. But no, you know what? I don't think that's going to be that easy. Because look, think about how partisan it's been. Think about how stagnant things have been. How much has not gotten done. You think there's going to be a lot of cooperation with his administration? Given what we've had for 8 years now,
mm-hmm.
do you honestly think that Democrats are going to cooperate with his
That's
administration?
That's the thing. Democrats don't have the guts to stand up to opposing forces. They're always compromising and caving in. So I worry about them. Yeah, I worry about what they will do. They won't stand up and spit in his face, which is what they need to do. Seriously, that's what we all need to do. Yeah, if I had the chance, I would.
This is just going to make us more critical, and we'll revisit this.
Imagine what will happen in January. Imagine what will happen if this actually comes to pass. So much will be destroyed. So much will be set back irreparably.
Yeah, whatever. Change the subject. We'll get back to this. Let the people figure it out. They honestly, mm-hmm. that's what they have to do. It's part of being an adult. Let's go ahead and run this country.
Okay, but we can't be complacent here. People have to wake up and start doing things to prevent this from happening. Because if it happens, there's no turning back. Yeah, we'll start the resistance here. Okay, fine. This will be the headquarters, I guess. But it's going to be hell. It's going to be a really... And all the progress, all the good things that have been happening, and there's not enough. I know people say there should be more progress, but you can't dismiss the progress that has been made, you know. And that's something that that I think too many people do. They don't see the good things that have happened in the last 8 years because they're fixated on the things that either haven't happened or the bad things that have happened. And no matter what administration you put in there, there are going to be bad things that happen. There's always going to be American policy that dictates dropping bombs on people, no matter who. I don't care. You can take the most liberal socialist possible candidate. That's still going to happen to one extent or another. That is still going to happen. I'm not saying we shouldn't fight against it. I'm not saying we shouldn't try and stop it. Just let's not be surprised when it doesn't stop overnight. You know, if you elect somebody that is more likely to do things like that, though, you're going completely in the opposite direction. You might think you're making a statement, but you're not. You're really not. Okay, you want to change the subject? Let's do something a little bit more.
Yeah, let's talk about something else. We'll actually prepare some things for
that show. Something a little happier.
Yeah.
And that's Suffolk County lawmakers are going to be imposing a 5-cent fee for plastic bags.
Finally.
And paper bags, too, actually.
Finally.
Now, this is going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow. Yeah. Suffolk lawmakers are going to be considering a 5-cent fee on paper and plastic bags at store checkouts. to encourage the use of reusable bags. They've done something similar in England, and that's resulted in something like 80% of all the plastic bags outside in the street being reduced, being eliminated. And it's a compromise because there was a proposal for an outright ban on single-use plastic bags, but for some reason bag manufacturers were opposed to that, and they were able to convince legislators to withdraw that. Okay, you know what? Fine. Make the damn bags, but at least people have to pay for them so they'll think twice before using them. And, you know, we stopped using them. We use a regular bag that I'm always forgetting in the car. But
we finally accumulated enough reusable bags to have, like, a bag full of reusable bags.
Mm-hmm.
So there's never a moment when we don't have at least one reusable bag somewhere in the car.
And this will stop those scenarios. You know, you go to the self-checkout line, you turn your back for 1 second, and some helpful store employee has snuck up behind you and put your stuff in a plastic bag when you specifically were trying to avoid that. So that won't happen because then they're charging you 5 cents per bag if they do that.
Yeah.
People will start it'll be a change of habits. Just like recycling was a change of habits, not smoking in restaurants and bars, change of habits. These things happen. They develop. People complain about it at first. They think, oh, we can't possibly do this. It's easy. The rest of the world can do it. We can do it.
Yeah, it's a little teeny behavioral thing, but instead of walking in empty-handed, you just bring something into the store. And honestly, they hold more. They don't actually rip and fall apart or anything. And they're just a lot healthier, and they're not, you know, supporting the plastics industry.
Uh-huh. So anyway, tomorrow the meeting is at 4 p.m., Riverhead County Center, and it could be historic. They could be voting for this, and we could have a 5-cent fee. I mean, you know, I prefer a ban, to be honest.
Yeah.
Seattle has a ban.
Yeah,
don't they?
Seattle did this a couple years ago. I remember it quite a lot like it was yesterday, and it had interesting effects. We would joke that, oh, you know, you got some illegal bags, or there was like a grace period where certain, you know, your favorite Korean corner store would, you know, have plastic bags. Of course, they're banned, so it was still within the 9 or 8 month grace period. Basically, they were trying to get rid of existing stock before the ban actually came into effect. But they never actually charged for bags or anything like that. It's a straight-up ban on plastic bags in Seattle.
Wow.
City of Seattle, which, of course, is an island in the vast, pine-smelling, repressed, lumberjack oasis that is Washington State.
Yeah, but that's how it starts. You know, that's how recycling started with the 5-cent fee on cans and bottles, started in one county,
yes.
Spread to a state, spread to the country.
You just look at it starts making sense. I mean, you realize how much plastic is in the ocean. It's a really good move to stop using plastic.
Yeah, and if your only opposition to that is that a company will lose sales or some jobs are going to be lost, these things are always transferable. Companies can sell different things. Jobs can be used in different ways.
It's called retooling.
Yeah.
It's called being agile.
We get one environment. We get one Earth.
Yeah.
So let's not screw that up too badly. Hey, we're pretty much out of time, but I'd like for people to write to us with their ideas.
OTW at 2600.com.
Tell us what a Trump regime would mean to you. What are you planning to do? Because we'll take the best ideas, and maybe we'll come up with some kind of a plan to enact if worse comes to worse.
We're giving out homework, aren't we?
I think we need to, because it might be one of the last things we ever do.
I think we should. Every week we should have an assignment for our audience, because people need to get in action. They need to be out there tackling some of these problems. And, well, we'd like to share with the world what you come up with. So, OTW at 2600.com.
They need to be out there tackling some of these people, I think. But
yes.
You know, where is the demonstration? Where is the anger? Where is the disruption? We need more of that.
Culture jamming.
I believe in letting people express themselves. I believe in letting idiots speak and proving the fact that they're idiots. But at the same time, I don't believe in suffering fools gladly or in silence.
No, in his case, we've established all of that. It's run its course. We're ready to move on.
Not one pie has been thrown at him yet. Not one. There's just no excuse for that.
Nope. None whatsoever. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. This is Off the Wall. For Emmanuel, this is Kyle.
And for saying, Kyle, this is Emmanuel. Yeah, I can do it, too.
Interrupted me. Saying good night and good riddance.
This is George Rudolph sitting in for Finn at Finn's Revolution. And we got a little stingy noise in the back, which you can't hear on the air, which is really kind of good. And I'm happy to say, sitting in tonight for Finn, and we're going to kick things off with a new tune by Paul Brown.